want to look at in some areas. You might have noticed it on the church sign when you came in, maybe. You might even notice it on the bulletin here, just briefly on the very front. But for some time now, in my times with our Lord, and I'm just quiet times and just driving around and just doing whatever I do with God and whatever God is doing with me, I'd Harvester's Church, Lord. Okay. Believer's Faith Fellowship. Okay, Lord. You know, we've been here. We've seen it. The name's there. It's been a wonderful time, Lord. You've done great things. Continuing to do great things. I visited with a pastor this past week and met him for lunch and honored him, bought his lunch for him because he retired out of the pastorate in a church in Beloit. And just a good friend. He's got years of service, and I just kind of enjoy visiting with him and knowledge and just listening to some things, you know. I would, if I had been smart, we met on Thursday. If I had been smart and looked ahead, I would have asked him to lunch on Friday. Then we could have taken our separation papers and we would have had a free lunch at Applebee's. But I didn't think that far ahead. Being that it was Veterans Day, a lot of places gave meals to veterans. But oh well, it's like, okay, Lord, this is your kingdom, this is your finances, we'll bless him with it anyway. And I shared some things with him, and he's asking how the church was going, and I shared this, that, and the other. And I said, when the check came, I said, well, I'll take it. He goes, well, I was going to take it, you know. I said, no, I just want to bless you for your years of service and your retirement as the ministry. And he'll never really retire because he's working within their denomination, kind of going to some churches within this area and as far up to Fond du Lac and different areas to kind of cover the pulpit now and then for a pastor that's not out of town or vacation or filling those things. So he'll never really retire. But anyway, I had a good visit with him. And where's Tracy? I look back there. Oh, the offering. I thought, oh, okay. I'll wait until he gets in here. I think I shared it with him, but I want to share it before the congregation as well. But anyway, so I had a good visit with him. And it was the pastor that was here about a month and a half or so back. Sat back on the road with him and his wife. And it was a good time. He left, and I wanted to meet up with him and have a critique.
What do you think? Give me the good, give me the bad. I'm a big boy.
I might cry, but let me know. Because you really want to know what people think when they come into a service. And so anyway, when Tracy gets back here, I'll jump back to that real quick. But anyway, as I was thinking of our church, your church, his church, there's Tracy. Great, now I got to stop again and change my subject. No. I just want to, I don't know if I commended you, Tracy, but the gentleman that was here a couple of months back, you know, and I shared it in leadership, I think. I can't remember now, time's flying by. But he said, all the churches he's visited, he says, your sound system, your sound booth, the guy back there was right on. He says, it was just amazing. He says, it was the best run that I've seen, even far going any big churches. He said, there always seems to be a glitch. There always seems to be something in the slides up there that they skip or they don't hit it on time or they're behind the song or something. But he was paying attention, Tracy, and he gave us a high mark on the service of our sound system and the slides. So thank you. And I told him, I said, Tracy is a man that wants to do it and give him his best. So yeah, thank you, Tracy. You don't realize how important that position is back there, but visitors come in and they're critiquing everything, guys, you know. Not as much as me sometimes, it's just the critiquing of the congregation. Are they friendly? Do they make me feel welcome? You know, how's the service, the songs, this or that? Can I read this thing? And so anyway, very complimentary. And I take it to heart that he was really impressed. I said, anything else impress you during that service? He didn't bite the bait. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, well. But as far as we look at, I really sensing a thing of our church and things that we are to be. And the thing in the bulletin here tells it already. Connect, grow, and share. Those three things kept bouncing in my head some time back. And it comes, then it goes. Then you kind of let it off to the side. And it's like, I don't know what it is. And I don't want to say that's our saying. And I say that a lot. And God gives us different things at different times. But I really sense a time when When somebody thinks of Harvester's Church, I want them to believe or know that it's a place that they can connect to God. We're charged with that, and we'll get into the message about that as far as, you know, sharing the gospel and letting them understand what God is about. So, number one, before you do anything, before you share about God, before you grow in God, you've got to do what to God? You've got to connect to God. We've got to find a church that does that. Many good churches around it do that. But I want to really make an emphasis for myself personally, and if not our leadership, anything that goes forth in our teachings, our Sunday school and all that, is making it very evident that we want to help people connect to God. After we connect them to God, I want to get them to what in God? Grow in God. Grow in God's love. Grow in God's knowledge. Grow in God's blessings. Grow in God's abundance. Grow in the things that God is about. Because he's a blessing God. He's a big God. He's got a lot for us. And then after we get past the connect into the growing, then it's time to do what? Share. You need to feel confident in yourself that you can share the wonderfulness of your Savior. The wonderfulness of what God has done for you specifically and right into your life. And we will get into the message, but, you know, thinking of that, it could be your testimony. It could be so many things, just where you were at and now where you are, and or just this past week, what had happened and how God was there, whatever the case might be. But you begin to share these things that just helps people grow, helps people connect. But I think as a body, we need to do that. So here we go. Let's kind of launch into this and see where we go. I want to share a focus I feel that we are at here at Harvester's Church at this time. Where we're at in the season with God, I don't know. God keeps moving, doesn't he? I don't think he's satisfied where he's always at. He's wanting us to get better. He's wanting us to grow closer. We want to develop those times with him, and God gives us those opportunities through so many ways. Number one, his grace and mercy, and he loves us so much that he allows us to fail, so that when we turn back, we get stronger with him or whatever the case might be. I'm not saying he caused us to fail, but he will allow us to do those things if we get disconnected from him or try to do things our own way, and if it's not his way. But why? Why would God bring somebody to Harvester's Church? Why did God bring you here? Why are you even still here? Why are you not somewhere else? Why is that? Well, we've had some visitors over the last month and a half. You know, some people have come, a couple of ladies here and there, a family here and there, a person here and there. And those are the times that God, I believe, kind of enlightens into me a little bit about these people. The word says God will draw them. The Spirit draws them. If his Spirit is here, his Spirit will do what? Draw them to where he's at. So if, number one, of course, we've got to make sure that God's Spirit is here, and we want to always welcome him, give him that ability to say, Lord, this is your place. Inhabit this place. Let your presence be here. Thank you for your presence. I don't think we've got to beg God to come into our presence. As long as we want him in our presence, boom, he'll be there. If he likes what's going on and he finds a heart of people that are just hungry for him and wanting to have more of him and learn from him, that God will be there by his presence, because he wants to be, I believe, with the people he's created, and he's wanting to see our lives develop and change. So I look at Harvester's Church to connect, to show, to grow, and to share. For the most part, we find in the world a lot of ways to connect into the world, don't we? We find in our society of today, there's connection going rampant. My goodness, everybody in here, almost everybody in here, might have a cell phone. You can stay connected. That little device in your hand, you can call around the world and speak to somebody over in Japan or Middle East or England or South America or Hawaii, Antarctic or North Pole, you name it. You can connect with people around the world. We have a hard time, though, trying to think that we need to take that, and we need to think how important it is to connect people to God, how important that is in a person's life. We might only get a chance once or twice. They might come through here for just a short time. They might be a visitor. They are traveling through the area. I don't know, but we've got to look at these opportunities and not just let it, you know, go well, let it go by, and it's okay, and it'll work out. We've got to be on our abilities of doing it as best we can all the time that we do it to give God the glory. And so why here? Why Harvesters Church? The world is connected in so many other ways. But I got to find out, why are we here? Why are you here? Why would somebody even come here? You know, why? People come and you ask them, how did you hear about us? Word of mouth. Oh, great. How did you hear about us? Looking on the web. Great. You know, how did you hear about us? Called the church and got the answer machine and your services were on Sundays at 10:30. That's why I'm here. Well, that's great. You know, there's a multitude of reasons why they're here, but really, ultimately, it's by God. Today, you're not here by accident. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. Some of us got up and said, I don't really want to go to church, but you're here. Now, I know, not you guys. You're the choir. But there's times I get up and I go, I don't want to go to church today, Lord. Oh, you got to. Okay. No, but we find that we have those opportunities to where we have a choice, and we all have a choice, but the Spirit of God draws them. And I think we need to look at these things to be prepared and how we're going to facilitate that to people, because that's so important to connect them to God. In my life personally, I'm sure in your life as well, to be connected to God really mattered. And once that connection happened, it really began to make you live like you never lived before. It made you look at things differently than what you've looked at before. You were beaten down. You had no hope. It looked like everything in this world was going south. Nothing was going well. Everything was just going to get worse. The dark days were getting darker, you know, and there was hardly any light out there. But once we get connected to God, we begin to see something totally different. We begin to see an opportunity that's there, that with God for us, who can be against us, and all these things and scriptures in the Bible. But it's those things that are true that builds us up. It's those things, just like Dan was sharing earlier. Reread a scripture. Reread that. See that. Go in there. Go that. And you read it again after maybe 10 years with the Lord, and it revitalizes you again. Right in there for you again. And that's those things of how important it is to connect to God so that we can be in that connection. The only way you get power out of an outlet is you got to plug something in it, right? As much as power is in that outlet over there, as much power that goes up into these light sockets, if we don't flip the switch, if I don't plug something into that, that energy is there, but it's not really being used. Think of the power. Think of the energy that our Lord exhibits. And if we can just plug into Him, I believe that transfers to us. I believe we get that, and we're able to go on further with the things of the day that we're in. I want to make a difference in our day that we're here today, and how can I affect the kingdom of God upon this earth, and how can I bring the glory of God down into this place? How can you do that? How do you do it? How do you bring the glory of God where you're at, in your business, in your home, wherever you're at with neighbors or friends, at the family reunion? How do we do that? It's all important. We've got to help people connect to God. What a wonderful blessing I had. What a wonderful time. I thank so much my God for a sound mother and father-in-law that I'm sure just prayed and prayed and prayed to get me into the kingdom of God. They had a vested interest. I was marrying their daughter. They loved her. They had care for her. They knew where she was at spiritually and with God. They didn't know where this guy was at with God because he never went to church. Well, they knew where I was at with God. I wasn't with him. So they prayed, I'm sure, deeply. And I think I can say that their prayers were probably answered, and thank God for their prayers that got a hold of me. They didn't come to me personally and say, Tim, we're going to pray that you get, you know, saved. They didn't. I don't think they ever prayed for me to become a pastor. They just wanted me to get saved. Oh, Lord, he's marrying our daughter. Please bring him into a relationship with you, Lord. Little did they know that once that relationship, once they connected me to God, what God had in plan for my life. And that's what we've got to look at as people come into our church. How do we connect them to God? Because there's a power in every one of us and every one of you that are here today that God is in your life. He's connected to you. Now do something with it. We find that, what is the definition to connect? Connect is to become joined together. It's to place or establish a relationship. I believe and hope and look at the Harvesters Church and all that what we are, that we can do that with people, that we can help them establish a relationship with God, that we can help them to place them into that relationship, that they have a safe place to come into to understand what these things of God are all about, and that we're not a crazy, wacky, spooky church, or that we're not a church that's watered down, that we just want to just dribble a little bit of the Word of God in. No, we want to go full force in the things of the Word of God and what God's Word is all about, even though it might not be the popular thing to do nowadays in our society. But I'm not worried about being popular with the society. I'm worried about being faithful to my God. And that's where our kingdom powers, that's where our kingdom is, and that's where we're to be. And we're here for a time and a space of time, and I don't know how long, to make an impact upon our world. We're here to join them back to God. We were all estranged. Dan shared it back in the garden. We broke that relationship by that eating of that forbidden fruit. Before that, everything was good. We had a good old time. God enjoyed everything that was going on. So it's for us to help in that, to be able to help them join, to reconnect. And here's what it is. Now, we know that there's the Great Commission for out there. We find that in Matthew. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. That's the Great Commission. We've got our marching orders. Boom. Psh. Church is over. Go. So that's there. And that's good. That's the Great Commission. It's an important commission. We find that in the verse that we just read to you, that Jesus is given a global perspective. In the teaching of the kingdom life and principles, Jesus leads his followers to think, to live, to pray that his kingdom come to our planet Earth. His followers to think, live, and pray kingdom stuff. We as a church, you as the church, because this is just a building, but we, church, us, the temple of the Holy Spirit, we need to think, we need to live, we need to pray. What? Things of his kingdom that come apart upon this earth. I was thinking as I was thinking of this, and I thought, well, you know, Lord, there could be even some here today that we don't know how truly connected you are to God. You know, you're faithful comers and you come and you're a blessing. But even as a pastor, I have to look out and say, how far are you connected? Where are we connected? Are you connected all the way? Are you connected just here? Whatever. Because even though people are sometimes there, it doesn't mean they're connected. Amen. We can have church with 5,000 people. You think every 5,000, every one of those 5,000 individuals is totally connected to God? Be great if it was. It would probably be phenomenal if it was. Probably I'm more on track to say I doubt if they are all connected, you know. And I know we'll connect in different ways and different degrees of things with God. But to be truly connected to God, to where we are looking at, to where are you thinking about the kingdom? Are you living the kingdom life? Are you praying for the kingdom? Or do you just go to this big church and all these people just to get lost in the crowd, just to hear a message, to go home and have fried chicken? And say, my Sunday's fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now what are we going to do? 2 Corinthians 5:18 talks about, now all things are of God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are to be reconcilers. It says right there, haven't we been reconciled back to God? Yes. Who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and now he's given us that ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Reconciliation, to reconcile something. Now, this goes back some days. Anybody still reconcile a bank statement? We probably should still. If not, we'll deposit your giving check right away. But there's different ways how the olden days of reconciling, where you had to take your checks and you had to get your thing and you had to put a check mark in your register and another check mark and, oh, this one's out. What's going on? And now with us at the computer age and all that, I can do all that online, or not online, but on my computer, and it takes care of all that for me. We still reconcile everything. But it was just, you know, accounting for things and bringing this back that amount was right. But look in reconciling here. As we are told here that he's reconciled us to himself through Christ, now he's given us that ministry of reconciliation. So to reconcile something is to restore to friendship our harmony. People come into a church today, as in any day of the past, any day in the future that we're still around and the Lord tarries, is it's important for them, if they're not in that relationship with God, is to do what? Restore them. To bring that harmony of that relationship back to God. Because we all came from where? God. We're created in whose image? God. We are his creation, even those people that are bad, created in his image. They've all got a DNA part of God in their lives. They may be the furthest from God in their life, but I'm going to tell you, they've got some part of a little element of that DNA of God in them, because the Spirit draws them at times, and that's how it works, to the Spirit connecting to that Spirit that we have. It's dead. And the way God works is marvelous. I don't know if we really all I truly don't understand it. Maybe some of you do, and can, you know, step A, B, C, D, but every time I try to get God into a step A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4, something gets mixed up and it's like 1, 3, 5, 4. It's like, well, that changed there. God, what happened there now? You know? Because God's ways are not our ways, and he's tremendously in so many things that he does. But I do know this. He wants people reconciled back to him, because he gave us that ministry of reconciliation, because we were reconciled back to him through Jesus Christ. So we've got that ministry of reconciliation to restore people back to that friendship or that harmony. What a blessed friendship we have. Do you have a wonderful friendship with God? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our load and griefs to bear, you know. What a privilege to take it to him. God brings us back to himself. He reconciles us by blotting out our sins. Ephesians 2:13. I mean, if you want to turn there, or if you just want me to just read it to you, but 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." People come to the church. We need to connect them to God. How are we going to connect them to God? We got to let them know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That, you know, we say we don't have sin. We call God a liar. It's all the Romans thing, and we share with these things about the people. But here again, it's connecting the people back to God. It's that ability to reconcile them, to say, they may not even know they're like estranged from him. I don't know. You just talk to different people. They don't even know sometimes. But he wants us to bring back to himself those by blotting out, and we've got to let them know, your sin's forgiven. How many people say, oh, I'm such a terrible sinner, he will never want me? Everybody heard that? You know, you try to share something in the Word of God. Oh, he won't want me. I'm just the vilest of the vile. That's the exact one he wants. I pointed at a blank chair. There's nobody there, okay? It's between Linda and Jill. Oh, I was like, it's that purse in that chair, vile purse. I just moved over. I just like, yeah. I sense God's got that big zapper up there, just tune it in on that chair, like that, like Star Trek, a tractor beam. But we look at this and just trying to be able to help people to reconcile them back to God and connect them that way. It's what a privilege it is to share something with somebody, because they think that they're so far gone, they're so far removed that they can never have a relationship, and it's for us to say, yes, you can have a relationship. Just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can go through some scriptures and what God's Word says about all that, but just coming from your heart, just to say, you can, because I was estranged from him, and I received Christ, and this is what's taken place, and how God, and you know, then you open up a whole thing of sharing. Because we have been reconciled to God, we have that privilege of encouraging others to do the same. We then have that task of reconciling others back to Him. Connection. We gotta connect them back to God. I was disconnected from God. How about you years back? But now I'm connected. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let's see. 5:20. 21. Let's see. Where am I at? 5:20. Oh, I'm sorry. That's well right there. We've just talked about we were reconciled back to Him through Christ Jesus, and that, you know, Christ Jesus reconciling the world, and we're to be that ability of reconciling, the ministry of reconciliation. And then it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be what to God? Reconcile to God. Come back to Him. You've been away from Him long enough. Just give up, man. You've tried it on your own long enough. Just give Him a try. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He that knew no sin, who was that? Jesus. What did Jesus take? He took your sin. A sinless sacrifice. He took your sin, hung it on the cross. You're forgiven. Your sins are cleansed white as snow. You have no sin if you repent of those sins. You're a new creation. You've just been born again. Your spirit comes alive. Connect to God now, and let's just reconcile back to what God has for you. Don't you want a congregation for sure, but just a people in our country just to be reconciled back to God? If this nation would totally get reconciled back to God, just imagine what would happen. Oh, my goodness. Ah. Yeah. Just imagine that. We find that word ambassador. Even last week I came across and I kind of shared that with our preparation and felt to leave you guys with something going into the election and not to fret on it and got to vote whatever the values and things what God is. But anyway, we're not going to get there other than that term and that ability of ambassador. Remember that? I shared that ambassador. This is an official representative of one country to another. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I live here. I'm a part of what's taking place here. I'm going to affect it as best I can by kingdom principles. Amen. Where I live in this world, I'm going to affect it by God's principles, by God's kingdom, by the life and the things that He's in me. What would God want? What does my God think about this situation? What does God's word say about this situation that goes on in this particular place, in the natural, in our world, in our country, whatever? How does my God look at that? And then I've got to respond that same way because I'm an ambassador. I'm here on a temporary assignment. We are an official representative. So now as believers, we are Christ ambassadors sent with this message of reconciliation to the world. This is an important responsibility. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, that requirement that we have, that we've been reconciled. Now you are grab that ministry of reconciliation. Do what you can to help them build that relationship with God. Befriend them, encourage them, pray for them. Let them know they can call you almost any time that they need help or need somebody to talk to. Be that ear, you know, whatever case might be. So once that connection is made, we need to bring them back to that relationship with God, their Creator. Then what? We made the connection. Now we've got them there. Okay, they've come in. We've connected them. We've done, I think, what the Lord has asked us to do as one of His churches planted in this area, planted in this earth, you know. We want to connect you back to your Creator. Hallelujah. Now what do we do? So once that connection is made, the next word that I sense was grow. You got to grow to help individuals grow in the things of God. It may also be looking at as maturing or to be perfected in the things of God. God wants us to mature. He wants us to be perfected into those things, right? He will work with you, and He will work with the children, and He will give you, you know, the milk of the Word, the milk of the Word, and even for ourselves here, to connect people, to help them grow. For the most part, we've got to just kind of keep giving you some milk. We've got to just kind of keep feeding you those basic things of God. And I know there's people that come into churches and they want a deeper study and they want, you know, deeper meat of the Word of God. And I can't find where it was at, but many years back that came across one time. And I found it somewhere, and I I think I found it somewhere. But really, it's once we get them connected, once we can get them growing in the things of God, once we continue to let the milk of the Word do its thing and to begin to revitalize and bring nutrition value to their spiritual body, there's a point in time, just like in the natural, when we grew up off of the milk and then we had a little baby food that was all ground up that was like, yuck, you know, now, as a baby, that looked great. You know, ooh, man, yeah, it's a lot better than the milk. This is getting a little bit more solid, you know. And then what happened from there? Well, then we grew up to have solid foods, and we went from that to the next and the next, you know. And we found that on our own. We began to develop and eat those things on our own. When I got to that age, my mom didn't say, well, do you want me to tell you about the steak we want, or do you want a pork chop, or do you want a hamburger, or do you want a pizza, you know. As I matured on how to eat, was able to figure out what meat of the stuff I wanted to eat, and I could do that on my own and develop my own nutrition. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. You know? And so I think it's really the responsibility of those of faith, those that call themselves Christian and have been in the Word for a while, that you, and there is a point in time where they, and that's where, as a church, we need to try to develop Bible studies that maybe goes deeper. Yes, we got to go deeper. We got to be a place that can do that. But until we get a group of people that is wanting to do that, and we get people that are able to do that, you don't want to do that. Because they'll get lost. And I'm not saying I'm a deep, deep study of theological stuff. Maybe it's because I'm still looking at the meat or the milk of the Word, and I'm just loving it and just taking it for what it is, but I'm growing and developing, and there's some things, meaty issues you get into. But that's for a church, yes, we need to try to develop that into an arm of that. But I tell you, when you're speaking to the vast majority of people on a Sunday morning, you've got to keep it fairly milk of the Word and the work of the simplicity of God's Word in your life and what it's done for you, before you get into all the other stuff, because people will start, what? If you don't know how to chew, what happens when you start to swallow? You run the chance of having them choke on the things of God. They get disgruntled with the things of God because it's something that they don't quite comprehend and how that could be, and that's crazy or whatever, I don't know, but they begin to choke on those things. So it's much better to take it at a process, okay, let's work through this and whatever that process is, but We as a church, I know, we need to look at having the ability when people come in that they feel it's a comfortable place, it's a place that's connecting them to God, and it's truly sharing the true Word of God and what God's Word is about, and that we can develop into maybe a deeper study down the line to help them. But right now, I tell you what, most of the churches out there, if you go to a church on a Sunday morning, a lot of it is just the milk of the Word and just the things of God and Jesus and standing and, you know, and all of these things because of the people that come in. Also, we talked to the pastor about this past week even. It's like, try to do a series on anything. And generally, I've shared this before, society says that if I go to church twice a month, I'm a consistent church goer. Okay, I guess that's what that is. So you're hit and missing, and so it's hard to even do structure-type teaching. I've seen this in our church here years back where we did go into some foundational things, and I think some meat of the Word and what it was really meaning, and the study starts off with, you know, 9 or 10 or 12 or 15 people. Give me 3 weeks, and that 14 people will be down to 6. Another 3 or 4 weeks go by, you're down to 3. So evidently, something's not right there, you know. Why did they stop? Not going deep enough? Going too deep? Going to where they got confused? They began to choke on some things? The other things came up in their life, and so they thought, well, you know, it's important to get the meat of the Word of God, but it's more important to go bowling that night because that's our team now, you know. So I got to give up God to go bowling or playing some activity outside, whatever the case is, and I'm just throwing that out there. So I think as a church, we've got to look at the basics of connecting them into God, helping them grow in the Word of God, to be able to help them develop the things that they need to help in their life to share with others. So how do we do that? And we're not going to really have time to do that right now, because if I get into this growing part, there's like six areas to look at in Scripture, to look at and read. I think what I'll take up on and follow up next week is you're going to look at how do we start? Where do we grow? What takes place? Talking about the study of God's Word, increasing the knowledge of one has of God, deepening their faith, showing love, to develop Christian character. These are areas of growing in God. And that's where we've got to help that new person that comes in, that we connect to them. We want them to start growing in these things. And so growing the Word of God, working in His knowledge, you know, looking at these things of, what did I just say, deepening their faith, showing love. That's there's a lot in all that. But even to get into someone with just their faith, how to develop and grow their faith, that's a challenge. Because a lot of times people are going through a lot of stuff. And we got to try to keep telling them what? Hold on. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Just know and pray that God is there for you. And He'll see you through that. Now, He may not see you through it the way you want. And that's the problem. Then they get a challenge in their faith. Like, well, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it. It didn't turn out what I thought would have been. I still got sick. I still didn't have enough money for the bills. Whatever the case, my car is still broke. And I thought I had faith. You know, but it's those challenges that we go and to build up and to grow in those areas. So that's some areas of interest of helping people grow. And then the last part of it would just be how to share it. The sharing part really gets back to go and make disciples. We go as a church, and it's time to go out and invite. I know there's a lot of people that come. Well, several people. I shouldn't say a lot. Several people come by ways of website and just word of knowledge. It could be words by other people, but a lot of it comes by invitations. And hopefully we can make it, and hopefully you're desiring to invite people to church. You're desiring to say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? You don't have anything going on Sunday, you know, and bring them along. We've got to have, as a church, contingency plans on how to deal with things, you know. Sometimes you have a lot of kids in a particular Sunday, and then you don't have any. Well, how do you have a Sunday school class going for kids if it's like here and then there? And it's here, and then it's here, and then it's here. You know, it's one of those things. So even churches today trying to have plans of how do we deal with this. And I enjoy, again, sharing a lot or just being with some of these pastors in town and how they've got, you know, children's programs. And even this one, that's a church that's got several members and all that. And he was like the gentleman that takes care of the children's side, saying it's just a challenge sometimes because it takes so much to be prepared for the children. He says, really, pastors and things like that, you get up there with your message on Sunday, and you can share your message whether there's, you know, 50 adults there or 100 or 125. It doesn't adjust anything with your message. You just go out and share it. He says, when you're in children's ministry, you know, if a large number comes in, you got to have helpers there and things planned and activities. And okay, here's what we're going to do. And we're going to do this for a while and then do this. And, you know, there's a process that they do in children's ministry. Anybody been there? And so he says, it's difficult in trying to find the people that will really come on board with us to say, I'm dedicated and willing to help. He says, it's not always easy in children's ministry. I thought, well, that's probably very, very true, you know. But we've had a great team of people here that have stepped up and to step in, you know, that helps in those areas. You know, I think of Linda, you know, and children's ministry, TJ and Beth, their nursery, and my wife in nursery, and different ones, and Val is a big help, you know. And so it's encouraging. We've got people that step in and do as things are developed, and we got to zig and zag here and there. But I think as we look at it as our church is, what is it that we need to do? We need to connect them to God. We need to help them grow. And then after that, begin to share. It could be the sharing of the love. Maybe it's connect them to God's love. Help them grow in God's love. Share God's love. You know, you can put anything, a little verbiage at the end of those things that you would like. But I really think that somehow the Lord is looking at me maybe specifically to look at those three areas to see how well we can do it or how well we've done it or not done it and where we need to change and make some adjustments and preparations for things. So, hallelujah! God is good. You know, He's got a plan. And we just need to kind of find that plan and hook up into it, you know. And because every church and pastor I visit with, it's amazing, they all have something different going on. You know, it's like, we're going this direction, we're doing this, we're doing that. And it's all for God's plan. It's all for His kingdom of fulfilling the people there, you know. So it's awesome. And I think that's what it's all about. I don't think there's just one whole plan. I mean, I guess there is a single plan out there, you know, sharing the gospel, you know, the word of God, and trying to keep it true, vibrant, and alive for today, and don't miss anything. So God is good. He's got a wonderful ideas and plans, and I just want to be a part of it. How about you? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to probably pick up on some songs here. We'll pick up next week and just kind of look at just a couple areas of the growth area and how we can look at that. And there's Peter. Peter's showing up on the horizon. Ephesians, 2 Peter. So be some of those areas in those books that God has that we will look at for that area of growth, what it's about. Again, keep our pantry in our prayers, and thank you for your support for that, and what a blessing that continues to be. All's good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I wonder, TJ still has numbness in that right little area of his jaw, or his cheek, right? He had some wisdom teeth taken out this past week, and one of them was really close to a nerve, so they kind of told him that, yeah, it could be a chance that your nerve's going to be affected, and it may come back. It may not be affected at all. It could be affected, and if it is, it could be temporary. It could be, we don't know. So I think right now he still is dealing with it, but no feeling like that little area there. So if he's drooling when you're talking to him, don't laugh. Okay. Well, we just need to pray that Lord would just bring back that nerve ending. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, and I lift up TJ to you, Father, and we thank you for what the oral surgeon did for the wisdom teeth and all that had been taken care of, Lord. But that one area that was so close to that nerve, Lord, and they felt like they might affect that. Father, even right now, he's experiencing the numbness and no feeling there, but Father, I just ask for you to return life back into those nerves.